Welcome to today's edition of the Bible Class. Our teacher, Dr. Kenneth C. Hill, is teaching from the Old Testament book of Job. You may send your questions by email through our website at whcbradio.org. That's whcbradio.org. Or you may mail your questions to the Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. And now, here is Dr. Hill with today's lesson.
Welcome to the Bible Class. We're continuing with our study in the book of Job. We're at chapter 32. We've heard from Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar with their speeches that seem never to end. We've heard from Job and his response, reply, counter, and concern. And now we're going to add a fourth voice of the comforters. Apparently, these three that spoke were not the only ones in attendance around the rubble and around the fire with the broken pottery and everything else as they sat around in dust and ashes and commiserated with Job. Apparently, there was a group of people, including this youngster who's going to start speaking in chapter 32. So these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel the Buzite, of the kindred of Ram. Against Job was his wrath kindled because he justified himself rather than God. Also against his three friends was his wrath kindled because they found no answer and yet had condemned Job. And we have it set up fairly well. He was a descendant of Buz, or Booz, depending on how you wish to pronounce it. This fellow Booz was a nephew of Abraham. You can find that in Genesis chapter 22, verse 21. So Elihu can't keep himself from responding, reacting, charging, and speaking. Apparently he's witnessed this entire confrontation between Job and the three guys. He had kept from speaking because he was younger. We'll see that in verse 6. The older men had failed to convince Job. He felt compelled to speak. Now Elihu had waited till Job had spoken because they were elder than he. When Elihu saw there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled, and Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young, and ye are very old. Wherefore I was afraid, and durst not show you mine opinion. I said, days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Great men are not always wise. And speaking of great, that's great in age, or old men are not always wise. Neither do the aged understand judgment. Therefore, I said, hearken to me, I will also show mine opinion. Behold, I waited for your words. I gave ear to your reasons while you searched out what to say. Yea, I attended unto you, and behold, there was none of you that convinced Job or that answered his words. Lest ye should say, we have found out wisdom, God thrusteth him down, not man. Now he hath not directed his words against me, neither will I answer him with your speeches. They were amazed. They answered no more. They left off speaking. Now you see, this impertinence by this youngster, Elihu, causes these older guys to be quiet, and they are listening to what he has to say. They are somewhat dismayed. Amazed is the word used here. They refused to speak any further because they were going to hear what this youngster had to say. Notice, he says here, there's a spirit in man, verse 8, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Now, he's a man like Job. His presence will not overpower Job with terror. He will not be so great that Job will not listen to him. He's a youngster, and so he represents Job's position quite accurately. He rebukes Job for charging God with hostility toward him. Lest ye should say, we have found out wisdom, God thrusteth him down, not man. And then in verses 14 and following, this youngster Elihu presents that God speaks to men through dreams and visions. He speaks through pain. He speaks through angels, he says. And so we read there in verse 16, when I had waited, for they spake not, but stood still and answered no more, I said, I will answer also my part. I also will show mine opinions. For I am full of matter. The spirit within me constraineth me. Behold, my belly is as wine, which hath no vent, and is ready to burst like new bottles. I will speak, that I may be refreshed. I will open my lips and answer. This is going to be good for me, just like it's going to be good for you, says Elihu. Let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person, neither let me give flattering titles unto men. I'm not going to look upon the abilities or lack thereof of the people I'm talking about. I will not be prejudiced, he says. I will just speak the truth. For I know not to give flattering titles, in so doing my Maker would soon take me away. Wherefore, Job, I pray thee, hear my speeches and hearken to all my words. Behold, now I have opened my mouth, my tongue hath spoken in my mouth. My word shall be of the uprightness of my heart, my lips shall utter knowledge clearly. The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. If thou canst answer me, set thy words in order before me. Stand up. Behold, I am according to thy wish in God's stead. I am formed out of the clay. Behold, my terror shall not make thee afraid, neither shall my hand be heavy upon thee. Surely thou hast spoken in mine hearing, and I have heard the voice of thy words, saying, I am clean without transgression. I am innocent, neither is there iniquity in me. Behold, he findeth occasions against me. He counteth me for his enemy. He putteth my feet in the stocks. He marketh all my paths. Behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee that God is greater than man. How important is that? God is greater than man. Why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matters. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, and slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men, and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose, and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit, and his life from perishing by the sword. He is chastened also with pain upon his bed. So we see the dreams, now we see the pain. And the multitude of his bones with strong pain, so that his life abhorreth bread, and his soul dainty meat. His flesh is consumed away, and it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out. Yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave, and his life to the destroyers. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him, and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him, and he shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto man his righteousness. He looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right and profited me not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. Though all these things worketh God oftentimes with man, to bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living. Mark well, O Job, hearken unto me, hold thy peace, and I will speak. If thou hast anything to say, answer me, speak, for I desire to justify thee. If not, hearken unto me, hold thy peace, and I shall teach thee wisdom. So here he is saying there in the verses 25 and following that if a man responds to God's dealings, and he does so by submitting himself to Almighty God, he'll get his health and joy back again, just as Eliphaz and the others had already pointed out that God blesses those who follow him and does not bless those who don't. Well, yes, to a certain extent we understand that, but also we know that the righteous sometimes suffer, and that's the whole point, isn't it? The righteous suffer. Now, do you get the arrogance in this? In this first speech, I see a lot of arrogance on the part of Elihu. But the arrogance is there because he thinks he is absolutely 100% correct. And people that are correct or think they are correct, either way, they will become arrogant if they're not very careful. And God does not like arrogance in the least. We're told throughout Scripture that that haughty spirit and haughty look even will cause great turmoil and trouble at the hand of God, because he does not like the arrogance. He does not like the pride of humankind. Now, Elihu starts a second speech here in Job 34. Furthermore, Elihu answered and said, "Hear my words, O ye wise men, and give ear unto me, ye that have knowledge. For the ear trieth words as the mouth tasteth meat. Let us choose to us judgment. Let us know among ourselves what is good. For Job hath said, I am righteous, and God hath taken away my judgment. Should I lie against my right, my wound is incurable without transgression. What man is like Job, who drinketh up scorning like water, which goeth in company with the workers of iniquity, and walketh with wicked men? For he hath said, it profiteth a man nothing that he should delight himself with God. Therefore hearken unto me, ye men of understanding. Far be it from God that he should do wickedness, and from the Almighty that he should commit iniquity. For the work of a man shall he render unto him, and cause every man to find according to his ways. Yea, surely God will not do wickedly, neither will the Almighty pervert judgment. Who hath given him charge over the earth, or who hath disposed the whole world? If he set his heart upon man, if he gather unto himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh shall perish together, and man shall turn again to dust. If now thou hast understanding, hear this. Hearken to the voice of my words. Shall even he that hateth right govern? And wilt thou condemn him that is most just? Is it fit to say to a king, thou art wicked, and to princes, ye are ungodly? How much less to him that accepteth not the persons of princes, nor regardeth the rich more than the poor? For they all are the work of his hands. In a moment they shall die, and the people shall be troubled at midnight and pass away, and the mighty shall be taken away without hand. For his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings. There is no darkness, nor shadow of death, where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. For he will not lay upon man more than right, that he should enter into judgment with God. He shall not break in pieces, or he shall break in pieces, mighty men without number, and set others in their stead. Therefore he knoweth their works, and he overturneth them in the night, so that they are destroyed. He striketh them as wicked men in the open sight of others, because they turned back from him and would not consider any of his ways. So that they cause the cry of the poor to come unto him, and he heareth the cry of the afflicted, when he giveth quietness. Who then can make trouble? And when he hideth his face, who then can behold him? Whether it be done against a nation or against a man only. That the hypocrite reign not, lest the people be ensnared, surely it is meet to be said unto God, I have borne chastisement, I will not offend any more. That which I see not, teach thou me. If I have done iniquity, I will do no more. Should it be according to thy mind, he will recompense it, whether thou refuse or whether thou choose, and not I. Therefore speak what thou knowest. Let men of understanding tell me, and let a wise man hearken unto me. Job hath spoken without knowledge, and his words are without wisdom. My desire is that Job may be tried unto the end because of his answers for wicked men. For he addeth rebellion unto his sin. He clappeth his hands among us, and multiplieth his words against God. That's speech 2 of Elihu. And here he is representing accurately Job's complaint, his contention that God has wronged an innocent man, and that it's useless for a man to be a friend of God because the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer. The theme of the verses here is that God, ruler of the universe, cannot be unjust. He is just. He is just. He is just and the justifier of those who are justified. God is the ruler of the universe. God is just. And so there's no one that can condemn, because no one is in a place of control except God himself. Now, Elihu, in this diatribe, contends that Job's trials should continue until either he recants, or if he doesn't, until he dies. His answers are for wicked men. He answers like a wicked man is probably a better way to translate it. And so Elihu is saying that he is not answering as he should. How could Job answer? Job did not know. Neither did Elihu, by the way, know the truth of what was going on with the testing that was happening. Let's look at Job 35. Elihu spake moreover and said, Thinkest thou this to be right, that thou saidst, My righteousness is more than God's? For thou saidst, What advantage will it be unto thee? What profit shall I have if I be cleansed from my sin? I will answer thee and thy companions with thee. Look unto the heavens and see, and behold the clouds which are higher than thou. If thou sinnest, what doest thou against him? Or if thy transgressions be multiplied, what doest thou unto him? If thou be righteous, what givest thou him? Or what receiveth he of thine hand? Thy wickedness may hurt a man as thou art, and thy righteousness may profit the son of man. By reason of the multitude of oppressions, they make the oppressed to cry. They cry out by reason of the arm of the Almighty. But none saith, Where is God my maker, who giveth songs in the night, who teacheth us more than the beasts of the earth, and maketh us wiser than the fowls of the heaven? There they cry, but none giveth answer, because of the pride of evil men. Surely God will not hear vanity, neither will the Almighty regard it. Although thou sayest thou shalt not see him, yet judgment is before him, therefore trust thou in him. But now, because it is not so, he hath visited in his anger, yet he knoweth it not in great extremity. Therefore doth Job open his mouth in vain. He multiplieth words without knowledge. And how it is in many lives today that we multiply words without knowledge, and we certainly have no wisdom. Elihu, in chapter 35, states that Job's complaint is that godliness avails a man nothing. He declares that God is too lofty to be affected by godliness or ungodliness, and that can only affect other people. It can't affect God, according to Elihu. Of course, we know differently, but that's Elihu's opinion. Elihu states his belief that unanswered prayer, even that of a righteous man, is due to a lack of faith and to the emptiness of the prayer, which may or may not be true depending on the situation. And so it is with Elihu. He comes down with concrete examples and concrete information when sometimes it's not so cemented at all, but it is variable depending on the process or depending on the person. God is no respecter of persons, but God does respect integrity and righteousness. In fact, that's the only thing that God looks for when He looks upon us. Are we righteous in Christ or not?
Thank you for joining us today for this edition of the Bible Class with Dr. Kenneth C. Hill. You may reach us by email by going to our website, whcbradio.org, and sending us an email on the Contact Us link. That's whcbradio.org. If you prefer to use the postal service, our address is The Bible Class, WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Blountville, Tennessee, 37617. That's The Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Blountville, Tennessee, 37617. You may also call us at 423-878-6279. Until our next Bible Class program, we are trusting that the Lord will richly bless you as you serve Him.